guys, my name is Abby.
My name is Mbae.
And this is the Unfiltered Exchange.
Yeah, welcome back to another episode. Thank you guys for listening. Today we'll be talking about our vernacular languages.
Yeah.
I've been wanting to talk about it for a while. Nukon kisama nikianza podcast, it will be one of the things I talk about.
Yeah. And it's not really concerning. A topic. It's not really a topic people talk about.
People actually don't think about it.
Yeah.
So we'll start with a question for you listeners. How many of you can actually speak their mother tongue fluently?
I just know a few words.
The best of both worlds. You speak and you
understand.
Yeah.
Which one? Like, I know there's a few, but the majority, probably, they don't. It's kind of hard for, like, people who are brought up in the city.
Probably they just know how to say hi.
Bye.
Salamu peke yake. Na inasemango na accent.
Accent.
Uhoro waku.
But yeah, many people don't. It's a bit concerning.
Yeah,
thinking about it.
In a few years, like when we are parents and we are grandparents, I was thinking about it and like, what if the language is just ikwange kitu tunakumbuka and it's not there anymore? They used to speak Kikuyu. They used to speak Kikamba.
Yeah, like a. Not even long, not a long time from now. Literally, just a few years. People will start asking, oh, you remember? People used to speak this language, Kikuyu, Kale, Luo.
And like, it's basically our culture.
Yeah.
It makes us Kenyans.
Mm-hmm.
Just like how when you go to France, everyone is speaking French.
French, yeah.
And they'll be speaking French for years and years to come.
Yeah.
As we can't speak Kikuyu. We can't speak Kalenjin. We can't speak, you know, even you don't have to know like both if your parents are from different like communities. Just even one, we don't know. And we'll run to, you know, to have to know other languages. Like we have French in schools, we have German, we have Mandarin in schools,
but
like that's a whole, even writing, those aren't letters, even it's that they look like symbols or something. Like it's a whole new way of writing.
Oh, like Mandarin.
Yeah,
they have their own alphabets. It's the same. I think it's most Asian countries have their own alphabets. But when are you willing to learn your own language, the language that your parents spoke?
Exactly.
You know, and I feel like even if, like, when you're brought up and your parents still, like, talk to you through their mother tongue, your environment, like, school, people don't talk in mother tongue.
Yeah.
Anywhere you go, most of your friends don't speak. So, as are the interest in learning it, just ishas.
It's just not there.
I remember Kitambo, maybe when we were in class 3, class 4, class 5, there was this thing that I don't remember what it was really, but either it was a book or CDs that showed like this is for Luo, like if you want to learn Luo, there's a CD to learn it.
Really?
Yeah, it used to be a thing and then it ended. I think many people weren't buying it because there used to be those lessons for, there was Kikuyu, there was Kale, Luo, and I think Luya.
Imagine I'm hearing about that now.
I think if you remember it, please tell us. But yeah, there was something like that. It ended. It didn't last for a long time. But yeah, I remember it was there. I always told my mom, one day you'll buy for me. One day you'll buy for me. I love Kale. And she's like, sure. But yeah, but it really depends. Maybe, I mean, if someone is brought up in Ushago, where they speak like that language every day, then they'll grow up knowing the
or even when you have
the language.
You have parents who speak it like me. When my mom is always speaking Kikuyu with her sisters, with, you know, everyone.
Mm.
So I grew up just asking her, Mami namanisha, you mesema namanisha, just like that.
Mm.
And that's how I just came to know, because I can speak and hear it fluently. But, you know, my dad, on the other hand, my dad wasn't, like, home a lot.
Yeah.
He works outside. So I never got a chance to know Kikamba.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a Kamba, but I can only say hi.
Mm.
Hi, and I'm fine.
Yeah.
That's about
that's it.
So you see, like, if you have parents who speak their language around you and with you, it would be easier to learn.
To grasp some, yeah, just grasp some stuff. Yeah. But it's, right now, it's kind of hard. It is hard to, like, find people who actually want to learn the language, because most people think about going outside, like leaving Kenya,
yeah,
and going to Europe, going to the States, anywhere where they speak like a different language, and they rush to learn that language and forget about their own. Like, go back to your roots.
Yeah.
And learn.
Mbono sibebe our culture with you.
Ukienda uko. Like, people rush to learn French, German, and all these other languages, but they don't even know the basics of their own mother tongue. And I would say it's also, like, the parents' fault, because if they really want their kid to carry on that culture, they would, you know, like, at least speak to them. Because, you know, when you speak to a child in a specific mother tongue, they'll grow up knowing at least some stuff. It's the same thing. If you speak to a child in English, they'll grow up talking more English than other languages. So I feel like if the parents did that, like, continued speaking to the children in the mother tongue, then that would be good.
Yeah, but even as much as parents, it's their fault, it's also, we also have to take some blame.
Yeah,
because atunanga interest ya kulani zivitu. And I don't know why that is. I don't know why we've grown up, you know, just not appreciating our languages.
Yeah. And it's heartbreaking, to say the least. Because then in a few years, the only people who'll be talking in those languages are probably the people who still live in, like, the countryside, Ushago.
Yeah, and, like, old people.
Mm. And then it'll be like, hey. Like, let's say 20 years from now, Ama, when our kids are learning history, they'll be told, there used to be different languages spoken in Kenya. All these tribes had their own languages. Right now, zimekufa hivyo.
No, maybe people who'll be able to speak the languages will be like a national treasure, you know. They'll be speak to the children.
And it's actually heartbreaking. Actually, sometimes I usually think, like, I wish I actually had an interest to learn my language. Because imagine unenda ushago, everyone is speaking in a language that you don't understand.
Mm.
You're just floating. Everyone is speaking this. And then everyone in ushago is asking you, mbono uchifunzi? Sikuju wishi uku tukufunze. And they're like, tricky. But
yeah, I wouldn't say it was at the interest.
Mm.
I was just curious. I'm like, what is she saying?
Yeah.
Inini wanasema, I also want to know what she's saying.
Mm.
And with that curiosity, just, that's how I ended up knowing.
Yeah.
Mm. And also, like, you know, these, like, schools, these Catholic schools and schools that were built by, you know, colonizers, they still teach their language.
Yeah.
Like, you find a school that was built by the Germans, up to date, they still have German
as a subject.
As a subject.
Mm.
Why?
Why?
We don't need that, do we?
Like, if
you really don't
in
need
the
that.
Case where you won't even, like, travel to Germany, why would you want to, you know, learn? And in Kenya, not many people speak German. Like,
yeah,
the people you interact with day to day, it'll be very few people who speak the language. But then, if you know your mother tongue and you meet someone on your day-to-day activities and they know the same language, it'll even grow your bond.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we share the same language, you know.
Like,
speak.
If I find, like, these vendors who speak Kikuyu, I will speak to them in Kikuyu. Hey. And you just watch them. Like, how they treat you will be different, will be warmer and, you know. Kama, when I buy smokies ukunje and you find someone in Kikuyu, I leap at the chance.
Yeah. Because,
you know, it's, like, even when you see them just smiling and laughing with you, unasikia tu wow.
Yeah.
And it's not every day they come across, like, these young people who know how to speak it. And another thing I was wondering, like, you see how other countries have, like, strict policies and you have to know our language before you come here?
Yeah.
Mbona si atunanga hiyo?
Why is it that when you're applying to a school, like France, you have to have a certification in, like, you need to know French. But then when people can't study in Kenya, that option isn't there. Like, they don't have to know Kiswahili.
Yeah.
Which is like, like, why are we forced to learn theirs, but then they don't have to learn ours?
Yeah, we should have that. We should, like, when you want to come to Kenya, like, live here, you have to have a language proficiency certificate.
Yeah.
You speak to the local people in their local tongue. I think it's only fair that way.
Because now, what if there's someone out there who doesn't know, like, proper English and you're trying to speak to them in, one, an accent, and two, proper English. So they'll just be looking at you and you won't even be helped.
They take advantage of you foreigners.
Yeah.
Unaambua ku ride ngamia ni 1,000.
I'm about to buy cheap stuff, you're overpriced and you don't even... And you'll just pay because now you don't know you're being conned. You don't know, like, the lifestyle around here, you know?
Yeah.
Because definitely, if a mzungu who knows Kiswahili is conned, he'll be like, ai, najua unanicheza, you know, like, nilipishe kama Kenya, but...
Yeah,
but we were just saying how that's a bit unfair. It is unfair that we have to learn theirs, but they don't have to learn ours.
Yeah,
like, it's the same. It holds the same importance as any other language, you know.
And it's a national language. Like, when foreigners come here, like, for example, in Mombasa, you'll find those beach boys there. People fluent in Italian, fluent in German, just to make the tourists comfortable.
But why can't they?
Why can't they learn Kiswahili for when they're coming here?
Yeah.
Not knowing Kiswahili. And you just want to find locals who speak your language. It doesn't make sense to me.
It actually doesn't.
To me, it doesn't. And this person hasn't gone at it to learn Italian or something. Like, you know, they just come. They're like, we can't speak your languages, you know. Mm. And now they're forced to learn because of business.
Yeah. Which is, it's actually like, ukienda France and you tell them, I don't know how to speak French. Like, it'll be, some of them don't know English, like proper English, because they've, like, okay, let's say you go to Asia and you go to South Korea. There, the people who learn English are very few. Like, English isn't a main language. Like, if you tell them, I don't know how to speak South Korea, I mean, what? I don't know how to speak Korean. It'll be difficult for you to find stuff or find...
No one will give a shit about that.
They'll just tell
you, what language do you speak? We'll find someone for you who speaks that language. No one will care.
And you'll just be stranded there. No one can understand you. And even the people who speak English, it's not at the best. Like, at the... There's just also the accent. And you're just bits of it. And it's... I wish... I saw this question for... At the... would you rather speak to animals or speak every language? And I just thought about it. I'm like, I would like to speak every language. Like, to speak with everyone with no difficulty, like yeah. you create more bonds, you get more friends, you know. And we're learning languages, that's a lot of work.
It is, because you know what you learn in school and what they speak,
yeah, it's completely different.
It's different. So it's like you not only, you don't only have to learn like through books, you have to completely like assimilate that language,
mm-hmm.
interact with those people. It's a lot of work.
It is. Like we were saying how our friends who have gone abroad and have stayed there, they come back, when they come back to Kenya and you speak Swahili to them, they speak like outdated.
Yeah.
Like they don't have the new slang. They don't know what we talk about, like how we talk right now.
How we say things nowadays. Mm.
So it will be like, and even they talk like in an accent, like they've lived in the States, they speak Swahili with that accent, and it's just like, wow.
Like you can just tell uyu wajaka huku sana.
Because then now, if you go to the States and you don't speak in Swahili, because now most of the people you interact with don't know Swahili. And it's this idea of Swahili is stuck on your head, like this is how I speak Kiswahili. Then 5 years later you come back to Kenya and the whole lingo has changed, how we say our sentences,
like
has changed.
Someone who hasn't been in Kenya for like 5 years, put for them a Mbugi Genje song, they won't even understand what
one
they're saying.
Literally
they'll be like, what language is this sheng nowadays, you know. Yali toka huko akisomanga sheng ya shujaz.
Ya shujaz.
Hapo nyuma.
Just some words. Right now it's a whole other nini? It's a whole other language, literally. Mm. It's interesting though. Sheng is like really interesting. Because the people who speak it, they speak it really fast. And you're like, where? First of all, I don't even understand what you're saying. Second, you're speaking fast. How am I supposed to understand that? But
like those TikToks I see.
Mm.
Oh. Watu wanakuanga wamevaa mapete mdomo kwa mkono. You know, that guy is anakuanga akiongea and I'm just like, what?
But like, if you actually know your mother tongue, that's good. It's good. Like, fluently, you know how to speak. You can understand. That's
pass
good for
on.
You. Yeah, pass it
on
to your children.
Preserve the culture.
Mm. But yeah, we were saying how it'll eventually go extinct. Like someday, it'll be history. Kenya used to have, how many languages by day? We have a lot of languages.
Yeah, there are so many.
But people only focus on Kiswahili and English and other languages, but forget their own.
Like even, we have to, English is a national language for us. Just because we belong to the Commonwealth.
So we basically have to learn English. Yeah, like, it's not a choice.
It's the official language for all, like, Commonwealth countries.
Mm.
So we just have to.
Otherwise, yeah, but, like, English is a universal, you know, language. Like, it's spoken in basically all countries. Like, there's always someone
most.
Who... Yeah, most countries.
But where is it because I'm to try to get English everywhere?
Mm, you won't cosa. And also the whole translation thing, the Google Translate, even Apple, it has translation, the app. But still, you know, I was telling by that direct translation and actual, like how they actually speak is different. Because if someone come, if a tourist comes and then Googles, like, how do you say this, and then says what Google says, it could be weird because that's not how we speak. We don't speak literally. We have our own how we speak, our dialect is different from directly translated,
direct translation.
You know. Yeah.
Mm.
Like you can learn Chinese, you can learn Mandarin, like from the books, from the teacher, but then when you go to China, how they speak is completely different from what you're translating from Google, you know.
Mm.
Yeah, so
Hata sisi, like, tunasomanga Kiswahili sanifu, but where?
But, do we, where do we speak? Even in Tanzania, they have their own, they speak Kiswahili sanifu, but they have their own dialect. Like, they don't pick every word from the kamusi and put it in a sentence and say
No one says that.
Yeah, literally no one says
but
that.
But someone who's learned Kiswahili ya kitabu will say that. I say like, nimepata afueni, you know.
Yeah.
But no one really says that on the ground.
Mm. But it's what, like, if you want to learn a new language, you still have to, after learning, you still have to interact with those people to know how they speak. And yeah, but you were saying how the whole local languages thing, like, it would be good if people had more interest in learning their own languages. Like, even if it's just something out of fun, ama just to learn some words in your language. These days, it's not there. Like, people don't want to learn their language. Kabisa, kabisa. It's just, they don't even think about it. They don't even think about, about what are people talking about. Like, I would like to understand
most this. A lot of people don't even go to Ushago anymore. Like, our grandmothers are in the city even. Like, what? I don't even know. It's kind of sad.
Yeah, it is. But Ushago, I like Ushago because it's good to take a break from the city. Like, the peace and quiet in Ushago, hakuna hizi ma protests and all these things that are happening in the city, uko, they have their own life. Akuna, they live in
so
peace.
Much pollution.
And the air is clean. The grass is greener. Once,
you know?
And it's just like, wow. Like, what is happening to us? Oh, I was asking by, like, what would we be speaking if, like, we weren't colonized? And we would actually be speaking, like, our own, like, our languages. But then we don't know. Were they speaking the same languages back then?
See, different tools are communities.
Okay, yeah, true.
What do tungekwa tu? But see, we had intermarriages and all that.
Okay, yeah, true.
So we'd somehow tungekuja tu kujua even each other's languages.
Yeah.
When you marry into another community, and I think it would be better.
Yeah.
That way.
But that topic is going to be for another day. Anything to do with colonization, that's going to be another day. Because that's a whole other wide thing to talk about.
A very long one.
Mm.
And very controversial.
Yeah.
But yeah, pass it on. If you know those languages, pass them on to your children.
Mm.
Your children's children.
Imagine, let's say a few years, at 20 years. 20 years from now, let's say you're not even living in Kenya anymore. You're outside, you have your family, your kids, and then you tell your kids, you know, my parents used to speak another language. Like, imagine now you telling your kids, I can speak three languages, English, Swahili, and your mother tongue, you know. It'll be interesting for them because these tribes, they aren't really known outside Kenya.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you go to the States and then you tell your one of your friends, oh, I'm Kalenjin, and they'll be like, what's that?
What's being Kalenjin?
Then you have to explain everything about how Kenya has tribes and all that, which is still like a good thing to educate someone about it. But then again, when they ask you, like, can you speak their language? And then you're like, no.
You're proudly saying
you're Kale, but you can't speak the language. Yeah. So that's just.
But I think schools have tried, like, when they give us easy songs for music festival. Yeah. But okay, tunakuwa tunaimba tu na tatu.
Sasa, we do the, the dances and the songs. But then we're also brought, like, Buganda. Like, why am I learning about Ugandan songs? Like, I don't even live there. I don't speak Ugandan, you know. Like, I wish they would have more, like, okay, the ones I saw, Luya.
Yeah, most of the Kamba Luya songs.
Yeah,
Luya,
I wish it was more Kenyan-based rather than, you know, uko nje.
But it's still good that it's African things.
That is Yeah.
But tulikuwa tunaimba tu
na tujisha. Namaanisha nini?
But they like, tried on their like parts. Nini,
like, I saw this Instagram reel for If Beba Was in English. And I'm just like, why are we saying this Amapiano song? Nata tujisha namaanisha nini?
Yeah. So
we can be cursing someone.
Well,
and
I'm guilty. I'm very guilty. Like, I will sing those Amapiano songs. I don't even know what I'm saying, but I know
but,
it.
But you word just for word. The beats. Like, you can literally be cursing someone and you just sing it, put a beat, and people will sing it and they don't even know what it means. But you're singing stuff, you know all these Kenyan lyrics for Amapiano, but if I put for you a Kale song, can you sing every word at a comma you don't understand? Can you sing a Kikuyu song word for word, even though you don't understand? I've been told Kikuyu isn't as difficult as...
Yeah, it's really not difficult. Like, when you stay around someone speaking Kikuyu for like 1-2 weeks, utakuwa unasikia, like, una understand some few things.
Yeah.
It's not really that hard.
But even the people who are brought up in Ushago, knowing the language, they still want to come to the city. Like, you know, there's this image of the city, buildings, jobs, and they would want to, immediately they finish the school, they want to come to Nairobi, study, you know, do their stuff here.
Kusanga ukiendanga. Ukimalizana Nairobi, umeenda Europe.
Ukienda Europe, you no longer pass your language after you start speaking more English. So that, you know, you kind of push the language behind, like, uko nyuma too. It just stays there. And then when you get kids, you don't pass it on.
There's this, I'm looking for the name. There's this thing, like, when, you know, us now, Kenyans, we go, we get some good education in the States, Europe. We don't come back to give what we've learned to our own people.
Yeah.
There's a name for that. I've forgotten what it is.
Brain drain.
Brain drain, yeah. Yeah.
It's
like, utaenda Europe and then you want to just stay there.
And your country is going down in flames.
Like, okay, tunataxiwa, okay, economy is bad.
But how will we improve that? Sasa si wote tukienda alafu. We're just leaving more, you know, like, we're just leaving the country with more problems. We're going outside to study all these things, but we're not coming back to fix those problems.
Yeah, and I think that should be the purpose. Like, what you're going to look for there that's not here, bring it back. When you get it there, bring it back.
Yeah.
So people who are behind you will get whatever it is you're going to look for. And I think most people don't think about it that way. They just want to go to, you know, states, live there.
Do their work there. But what about your country? You say utarudi Kenya holidays to hang out with your family.
Tunifunza patriotism.
I know. Kwanza history. You're taught all these things about your nationality and the advantages of, like, being a patriot, you know. But you're not even applying it to yourself. Oh, I was even told, like, when you're applying for a visa, and they ask you, like, what are you going to do there? And you say you're going to study. And then when you say, most people that say that they're going to leave usually never get the visas.
They want to study and come back.
Yeah, they want to hear you saying you're going to study. You bring back the knowledge to your country. That's what they want you to hear. Because most people who have said they want to work, they want to go study, then work, then leave. Most of them don't even get that visa. Because they don't want you to increase the population. No, because they want you to go get your knowledge, come back here, fix your country.
Yeah, that's why I think it should be like that. That's why I always say, if I ever get a chance to, like, go abroad, do something, like, get more out of my education, I'm definitely coming back home.
Yeah.
And bringing what I've learned here. Especially when I'm looking at, like, the course you're doing, the psychology and everything. You know, it's still a very new
concept.
Yeah. For, like, not many of us understand it. Like, we just know, okay, kuna mental health. Mental health month, you know. Like, it's just surface level things. And most of the people don't even take it, you know, like something important.
Mm. Like, yeah, they know there's something called mental health. It's become a whole thing. It's become, you know, like it's become more recognized. But when it really comes down to what it is, what it means to them, they just don't.
And people will be, you know, una joke on a therapy, but tell someone to go for therapy. They'll be like, I tell someone all my secrets.
I know. I tell someone I don't even know.
Yeah.
Like, that's not how it really is. Like, fine, yeah, you're telling someone who doesn't know, but you don't really know how much you need therapy until you try it.
Until you try it. Very true.
Yeah,
it's very true.
There's so many things you don't even know you've hidden inside you until when you go for therapy. It's the eventually just come out and wondering,
I used to think I'm fine until like I started, because it's a requirement for us to do therapy.
Mm.
Until I started, I was just like, okay, this is new.
Mm.
This is very new. You think you know so much about yourself,
but
you don't know.
But when you actually like confront it, at the end you'll be like, where? Okay. But yeah, I was saying, like, imagine you're going to a country where mental health is completely recognized. Like,
yeah,
therapy is normal.
It's something important.
It's something important. And your country, the people here are dying, the suicide rates are shooting, and you're not willing to come back.
Zero and help. Awareness, nothing.
You know, so many people have these misconceptions about mental health, about the diseases. Like, someone can literally be living. Maybe someone has schizophrenia and they don't even know what it is. Well, they know they're possessed. And you tell, if someone has schizophrenia and goes to a pastor, tells them, I'm seeing things, the pastor will eventually say,
kuna mtu alikuwekea kitu.
Ulirogwa. And then they start praying for you. And then, when it doesn't change anything, unashanga
you become now an outcast.
Mm. So in the case where you've studied, you've gotten your master's, you're officially like a therapist or someone, a mental health advocate, it's good to or even at least like come back.
Even in other fields.
Mm. Like, come back, educate your people. Sema, this, it's not demon possession. It's just a mental illness. You need help.
Yeah.
And there's no way that can happen if you just let them continue thinking that it's demons.
You're just going to Europe. Mm. You're sitting on your PhD.
Mm.
You know,
and like your people back need here, help.
They need it.
Mm.
Establish institutions. Work with institutions. Like, do the most you can when you're alive for your country.
Even nursing.
Mm.
Like, you're going there, you learn. Because the courses outside for nursing are good. You go and you become a nurse in a very prestigious hospital. Look on Je Batuku, the hospitals in Kenya, the lines are long. They are not, the patients aren't getting the help they need. You saw that story about the woman who the fetus died.
Yeah,
and she stayed in the hospital from morning to evening and she didn't get any help. The nurses were negligent, so the doctors were negligent, like they really didn't care, which is actually sad. Like, as a doctor, as a nurse, in any other field, you know that in Kenya this field is not succeeding the way it should be right now. Like, it's the 21st century.
Like, we still need to do more.
We still need to do more to make this country like a better, you know.
Yeah, and like, we'll talk about it later, but I think as a people, we are still very much whitewashed.
Yeah,
we're still neo-colonized. We're still colonized in our heads, but we don't want to see it.
Mm.
And a lot of people don't know it. But when actually, you actually, really yeah, when you actually think about it, you'll be like, yeah.
By the way.
Yeah, it is true.
Okay, yeah, true. True. I mean, like, let's say, okay, yeah, we'll talk about, okay, let me not spoil it. We'll talk about it in another episode.
Yeah, but this is one example of being whitewashed. You're very much interested in your colonizers' languages,
but
you don't know your own language. Someone can speak some nice French for you,
and you'll understand everything. Like,
even with they got the accent, the pronunciations right, and then they'll tell you "uhoro waku." you know.
Yeah. Even Kiswahili for some people, imagine, is a problem. Like, some people who, the people who are taken to IGCSE schools, you know, also them that taught Kiswahili, but like, it's just the basic. Ile unafunzwa class one, ndo wanafunzwa, like, yo ni meza.
Na mbona US wananga Kenya
system? I know.
Mbona huku kuna British na wawa wana.
Kuna British, kuna American, kuna German, but huku hakuna nini.
Eh, mbona hakuna 844 system huko kwao. Why? So, these questions sometimes I ask myself and I just like, hakuna mtu atanijibu anyway. So it's just there.
Oh, so I was saying, these people who are brought up in IGCSE schools and they're taught like the basic Kiswahili, when you talk, and they're Kenyans, and you're talking to them in Kiswahili, and then they're like, what? Huh? I don't understand Kiswahili. And then you're like, what? But you're Kenyan. Like, there was a girl in my class. Okay, I'm so sorry if you listen to this. It's not banter. It's not, I'm not like shaming you. It was just like really interesting how, like, she really struggled with Kiswahili. Like, she was being talked to and she was just like, you
can
know,
you, can
like,
you repeat that for me?
Yeah, but she was, I applaud her interest to like really learn it, because she was, by the, when she entered Nova, she was like really interested. By the time we were finishing form four, she was, you know, she learned so many things. She would take it really nicely.
Yeah, and you know, some people who are like that, they realize like it's not their fault for not knowing. Maybe they've just been raised all their lives speaking English, you know, living in Karen. You ata utapatana mtu anaongea Sheng Karen. So when you go to somewhere different, they'll be like, okay, this is not what I'm used to, but
yeah,
I'll adjust.
Yeah, even if in the case where I, in the future, I live abroad with my kids, I'll definitely teach them Kiswahili. You know, that's not a, it's good to know another language. It's good to be bilingual. At least to tell me I can speak English and Kiswahili. But then again, it would add when you say I can speak English, Kiswahili, and my mother tongue, you know.
Yeah. That's what I was even saying, like, when I have kids, God willing, I won't give my kids English names. Like, I'll give them Swahili names. And I'll speak to them in Swahili first. Like, when they grow up, the first few years, it's all about Kiswahili. Like,
they
know
learn
your
English.
Mother, know your country's language.
Yeah.
Tessa, okay, Kikuyu, how you like to step? Okay,
if
know.
We were both like completely knowledgeable in our mother tongues, I would definitely also pass that to my kids. Like, teach them, this is how you say ya in Kale. This is how you say this in Kale. So at least atakama wataongea the whole time in Kale, they would know some stuff. If someone talks, they would understand what they're saying, you know.
Yeah, it's basically who we are as a people. And I find the language is very interesting and beautiful. By the way, ningeza kujua zote, ningejua tu zote. But like, some, I've even seen some YouTube videos of these wazungus who travel. And there was some Zungu who was in Ghana, and he completely like learned their language.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that's very nice. So when he was going to the shop, speaking to them, they're like, what? This white man knows our language.
Yeah. And you know, it makes people like you even more, like, you even become known.
They even treat you
like one of them.
You know, yeah. Because you've taken that effort and the time
to
learn their language. So I think that was beautiful.
Yeah,
even in resorts, Mombasa people, the resorts, you know, there's some places like you can't work if you don't know language.
Yeah, you're told you need to learn this, so you need to learn Italian, you need to learn German in order for you to work here because of the tourists who are there. But
like,
see how wakuje pia wakijua Kiswahili.
Exactly. It should be, that should be a law. And like, there was a hotel we went to, it was predominantly Italian. There were so many Italians over there. And it was so sad to like experience, like, should I call it racism in your own country?
Yeah,
because during that time, we were the only like dark people there. It was sijui ilikuwa season ya wazungu, and all of them were like old old people wamekuja tu ku relax. So during that time, we were the only like let me see black people there. And you could just see it was so different.
Yeah. How you were treated.
Yeah, how you were treated. We were treated by the same like people with the same color of our skin. Mkenya, but they'll choose to, you know, treat the foreigners better, speak Italian to them. And you're just there
wondering, like, why am I being left? Like, this is my country and I'm being treated like...
Yeah, if
I'm
anything, it should be the other way around.
Because like, if you go to their countries, you want to be treated like that, you'd be treated better than everyone else.
There's nothing like that. Because it should be like, Wakenya wenzetu, you know, they should be getting, you know, better. I'm not saying that you treat them bad.
But
you know, yeah, like, you know what I mean. It shouldn't be like that. At just cause they're foreigners.
It's like really some sad. Clubs where the white people they don't check like if they're 18 or 21. Like they literally have their own, you know, line. Like they come, they just enter, and then since you are Kenya, we have to stay in line and bargain with the bouncer quietly to ingie just white that washing. One day.
Why do we still believe that the white man is better, is superior? It's really sad. And I hated that experience in that hotel. I was just like, bro, let's just go back home.
Yeah.
And I was like, I told my dad, you better leave a bad review.
Yeah.
Like one star. Don't even put stars.
just put the review.
Right. You know, it was really bad. Yeah.
If any of you guys ever become like property owners, I'm a managers in like really big organizations where there are a lot of many white people like come, please make sure that the Kenyans are treated the same way you're treating the white people. Like white people at all? No, I don't want to say that. No, but you get what I mean. Like, no one should treat the white people as if they're better people than the people who live in. Like, this is their country. It's your country, and you're treating them like they're less than. You know, like, what are you trying to do? Like, are you trying to impress this family?
Like, you saw that place. It was apartments, and they had written there are no black people allowed.
For real,
on our soil.
Yeah.
I was too shocked. I didn't know black people allowed. There on the gate, I just said, this is outrageous.
See, even the nene, even for Indians, like that, there's an area, apo Carnival, like that whole road opposite Carnival Yoyote. Those houses are like really beautiful houses, but it's just for Indians. No one else can live there. Like, at a wewo kendo's mama poko gate, the watchman will tell you enda too. Like you're not allowed. You can't live here. You're not allowed to enter unless maybe you're delivering food or something. Otherwise, you can't enter there. Even everything apuchini.
But is it a religion thing?
No, it's just the people. They built this just for Indians, so Kenyans can't live there. I don't think any other race can live there except just Indians. And it's a whole, like, the apartments, I think there are two apartments and, like, some very good mansions. But, yeah, it's just for Indians. So, it is like, this is our soil.
Where are they allowing people to do this?
Like, this is Kenya. Like, this is our country.
If I was the president, I would chase you away.
I'm at least let Kenyans live here. There are people who are homeless. You know, like...
If it was a religion thing, like...
You would understand.
Yeah, we would. Okay. Because we have freedom of, like, you can express your religion however you want. But just because you feel like, no, that it shouldn't be like that. That thing for black people, ilinisumbua akili. I was just like, where is this place? And why are they allowing this? It's just not fair.
See, then the time, that's... Alchemist had the scandal. And they, what did they do? I think they apologized, but it still continues. I don't think it stopped.
Doesn't.
Which is just sad. If you're allowing that, you should be ashamed of yourself. Like,
and that's when you told me about the white guy
kuvukisha line when we were going for our driving exam, and the guy he was in the line up to nyuma waiting for his turn. Then the guy, the one of the
instructors,
akamuita akasema tu kuja, and he signed in front of everyone else. He went, he did his exam, I think, as the first person. Akatoka, akafanya his practical, and he left in a matter of minutes. Yet, sisi tumebaki, tumengoja, tumefinyiwa kwa hizo benches, like, been... Yani, we're just treated like, you know, But then, when a white person just comes, and he's given the privilege to do this, ebu wenda, go to the country and tell me if you get the same treatment.
Never in a million years will never. They treat you like that. Mm. Never. It's actually the opposite. Mm. They really show you that this is not your home.
Mm.
Si kama huku.
And I think I have a feeling like in the back of their minds, they know huku, they'll get some type of privilege. They'll be treated better than everyone else. Which is sad.
Very sad. It's really sad. But you're still letting this go on after all the years of education we've had.
Mm. It's not clicking. I think Kenyans just have this mentality that if they impress a white man, they would be, for some reason, like, their life will change.
Now, if we start getting into that,
we would finish. I don't want to talk about out of topic.
And I will say some out of pocket things. Yeah. But we'll save that for the other episode.
Yeah, we'll save that. So stay tuned. But yeah, we keep going out of topic. But this is about languages. And yeah, I think we've talked about everything.
I think we should call it, like, you know, neocolonialism part one.
Yeah.
Languages.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, yeah, true. So, yeah, so that's it. If we're talking about colonization, that will be for another topic, another day.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I hope you've learned something new. If you have an interest in learning your language, please do. Like, don't have an interest, alafu, you just sit on it. Like, every day, unashindo kisama, I want
after,
to learn this.
After your episode, unasema, wow, aki I learn my mother tongue. Tomorrow in the morning, we may reset to default.
I know. Like, if you're really interested, don't sit on the interest. Work towards doing it. I'm sure kuna YouTube videos ukonje, like learning where you learn the basic Kale words, you learn the basic mother tongue words.
The relatives who know.
Mm. I might have to tell your parents to speak to you so that you grasp some stuff, you know.
Mm. It feels good gossiping with your parents and relatives in that language. Mm. You're feeling it, and it hits different.
Yeah.
Because when you translate it, I sounding the same.
Yeah.
It's just somehow funnier.
Mm. It's like you can't, if you to see someone in Kiswahili, you can't say the same thing in English. It won't be the same.
Exactly. It won't be as funny or as, you know. So, yeah. Think about it. Leave your thoughts on that link we put on the highlights. We always look at them.
Yeah.
And we try to answer.
Mm. So thank you guys for listening. I hope you learned something new. And I hope you actually grow an interest in knowing your mother tongue if you don't want it to go extinct. Because in reality, it is going extinct at this moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I hope you guys leave a comment on our NGL link. It's in our highlights. Yeah, and follow us on Instagram at the.uepodcast. Our email is theunfilteredexchangepodcast@gmail.com. And our TikTok is theuepodcast. And we'll start posting TikToks.
That's
so,
what we said the previous.
Yeah. Just give us some time. Then we'll come up with content and we'll post stuff for you guys. So
yeah,
and always remember to tell us if you know someone ama you think you're really educated in a specific topic. Please tell us so that we can consider calling you to one and we can discuss the topic. that you want it to be discussed.
Yep.
And yeah, thank you guys and bye.